Hey, it's Michelle Beadle. That's right, the Michelle Beadle. You're welcome. You love talking about sports. I love talking about sports. You know the only thing cooler than talking about sports? Sports! And right now, all your favorite sports are on SiriusXM. I'm talking every NFL game, every game from the NBA, NHL, MLB, every NASCAR race, golf major, major conference college sports, and all the top games in the WNBA. If it gets your heart pumping, it's on SiriusXM. To start your free trial of SiriusXM today, visit SiriusXM.com/believe.
Everyone's down on the Patriots for 2024. Where are the reasons for optimism here in Dynasty with Ryan Morgan, UTH Dynasty trade expert and premium podcast contributor? Let's start off, Ryan, with the quarterback position here. Drake May has been someone we've discussed pretty heavily in terms of our rookie draft planning, creating around the board, getting to Drake May in those super flex drafts. I think one of the biggest questions is, what was your view when they drafted him? What in terms of a profile, when do you think he'll start? And does that even really matter for Dynasty? There's a lot of things here with the timetable, but also the profile of Drake May going to New England.
Yeah, it's a fun year to be a Pats fan, just kind of following them and stuff. Just we've had so much of the same for so long. We've got a whole new coaching staff and everything. I think the overall vibe is it's just the passing game and the offense in general is going to uptick from last year. And I know a lot of the consensus in Dynasty is Drake May just has this horrible landing spot, and that's fair. I mean, the O-line, the weapons, the offense rankings in general last year were not great. And so I get that. But at the same time, Drake May coming out, he was a guy that I wanted. He was the guy that, as a prospect, I liked the best. And so definitely when Washington didn't pick him, I was quite happy at number two and knew that we were going to get him. And so really excited about him. However, the NFL and the Patriots in general, you know, they had Mac Jones, he had early success. They kind of didn't foster that into anything else. And he really got shell-shocked, it seemed, and was out of there. And so I know they're going to be relatively careful and cautious with this. You could see by the way they did their draft this year, it was just all offense. It was, you know, we're going to go with the quarterback, then we're going to go with the wide receiver, then the offensive line. So they're trying to build it up the right way. I think the betting odds right now for our Jacoby Brissett is like minus 300 to start week one, and Drake May's plus 220. So I really don't see him starting right out of the gate. However, in Dynasty, I really like his profile going forward. I think that you've made comments in some of the pods that he's going to be looking around after what he had in college and be like, oh, this is awesome. You know, I've got, holy, and you know, so I don't think that the weapons themselves are going to be that much of an issue. I think they're actually going to be decent in supporting him. My main concern, I think, would be the O-line. And I think that before starting him, they're going to have to see that O-line improve. With Cole Strange, he got injured his knee in November. He's probably going to miss the first half of the season or at least start on PUP. You know, they only brought in, see if I can get this name right, Chukwuma Okorafor. Close enough, but he's a tackle on a one-year deal. I think it's like $4 million. They drafted in the third round another tackle. They've got a guy or two coming back to health, but I really think that's going to be the main thing, is they're going to want to see that there's enough to protect him so that they don't wreck him. And so I really see Jacoby Brissett starting the year. I think the soonest we would see him would be, I mean, they've got a Thursday night game in week three against the Jets that kind of gives that extra 10 days, but then they're going at the 49ers out in San Francisco. That doesn't seem like a good first game for them. They're bye weeks all the way out in week 14. So that's kind of a ways down the road. So it's hard to really peg. I think they'd want to start him at home. They'd want to kind of give him his runway. I think they're going to play it by ear, though, with regards to specifically the offensive line.
Yeah, two things for Drake May, I'm always going to remember about his prospect profile is the rarity of being over 3 yards, 3.0 in terms of his big time throw ratio. Even the top guys in the class, you might see him in the 2.0 to 2.5 range. But when you get over 3.0, it's very rarefied air. So all this talk about Drake May's inaccurate, Drake May's this, he's a bold thrower, you know, and that's going to pay dividends. We see that with, you know, others like Trevor Lawrence, Justin Herbert, that have, you know, had success in terms of just not being afraid of the hard throws. And I think in the NFL, that's what separates you from being okay. And for Dynasty, we don't care about okay all that much from being potentially great. And then the other part is, I think a lot of people tamping down Drake May's rushing upside. You know, that's another aspect that I think people will find out about it. I almost think of what's going to happen with Drake May rushing. It's going to be Hey, if Justin Herbert were a guy that had a little more aggressiveness towards running, that's what you would kind of see, that sort of build with that sort of athleticism. But Herbert says, I choose not to run. I'm going to try to beat you with my arm. I'm going to be super safe. He's avoided injury in general. So I think you want to balance that line. We're seeing other quarterbacks get beat up when they run around, Anthony Richardson and a few others. So we want that fine line, but I do think May is going to run more than Herbert and have upside, maybe even surpassing Herbert, which we've seen a big ceiling from him, in some of these better case scenarios. What do you think in terms of, we have other notable quarterbacks on this roster. We have Joe Milton, obviously, as a dynasty stash. I would ask, where does it make sense to roster him out of a rookie draft? What does that take in terms of a format, a roster size? Maybe it takes taxi squad only, in terms of a developmental player. And then the other part is, do you think Jacoby Brissett is someone that, if he has good game in week one or week two, is he going to be someone that you can flip, or is he only someone that can fill in? And he's like, I'm not going to say a dead roster spot, but you almost have to view him like a backup right now in terms of he's not going to have a lot of big potential in the trade market, even if he has a decent game.
So with Milton, I know Mrs. UTH, the INFJ character analysis person, is all over Joe Milton. And he's really, from everything you've seen in the original OTAs, I mean, the guy had the hardest thrown pass at the combine. He's got a cannon for an arm. He's huge. He's, 6'5", 235. They were talking about, hey, we move him to tight end. Kind of like you saw with the RG3 Kirk Cousins thing. When they draft this and they still spend another draft pick on a quarterback after signing a quarterback, like they had to have him rated much higher. So he's got some interest there. I don't think he's going to convert to tight end. Maybe that's the, we're going to try you a quarterback and then, but there's still some sort of getting him experience on the field. I can remember Tim Tebow was like the protection guy for punts that could also run fakes or something like that, right? So there may be something there. I do think that they really know what they have in Bailey Zappe, and it's not something that they're, they'd rather have door number two and see what they can find under that rock, et cetera. So, with regards to Milton, I do think he will get the quarterback three spot. I think he has enough versatility, whether it's special teams or something, that he can also carve out a role there and see where that goes. Now, rostering quarterback threes on non-prolific passing thing, I don't know how much dynasty value that has outside of just keep the name in mind. And if someone, I remember Jacoby Brissett back when we had Jimmy Garoppolo and Tom Brady. He started a few games after Garoppolo got hurt. They ended up trading him in season. So just watch for stuff like that. If he ever hits the wire, he might find a better position. I do think that he's at least an interesting name, and the athleticism as well. That's the Konami code here in Dynasty. And so the other part of your question there with Jacoby Brissett, the problem I see with him is I don't really see the sexy flash that's going to get you to be able to cash out for massive profit or anything like that. However, we saw it last year where we've got all these Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert and all these guys are just dropping. And so having him, whether it's a startup where you're not quite as deep built out or you're taking over an orphan or you just need a body, I think he will be starting the year. He will be a starting quarterback. He is a pro. He'll, he's not going to just fall on his face like a Zach Wilson or something like that. And so getting him, he could be a, we have some of those primary backups that we like to keep on our roster and stuff like that, that we could be waiting for. He could bridge that gap. He could start all season. He maybe finds another job in a backup role in seasons going forward and stuff like that. And so just being the premium position and knowing that he will most likely be starting week one, I think he has value on our rosters quite a bit. Although I don't think you're going to necessarily in the trading market be able to flip him for much.
Yeah, we're doing a draft to get a startup draft together, Superflex. He went quarterback 38. And you look at, around Spencer Rattler, Taysom Hill, he went at, way after Sam Howell, for example. So he's at a palatable point of saying, we know Jacoby Brissett is a functional injury away guy. He's going to get some starts, especially, and we were kind of grappling with this a little bit, but, if you kind of go through and don't find the right value at QB2, maybe your QB2 is someone like Drake May, or a younger guy where you say, I'm not sure how many starts I get right away. Brissett would be someone that fits potentially in a team building plan like that. And I would say in a startup draft and kind of monitoring that in the mid-teen rounds, that's probably more value than sitting out there and saying that I'm going to be able to extract or hold something of higher value in your league's trade market.
Especially this year when you've got five or six rookie quarterbacks going high that maybe will take a little bit to get started or not get started right away. He might be the perfect bridge to that gap. And his price is affordable enough that I think he has a lot of value on certain situations.
Running back group, with two big contracts being dealt out by the Patriots. We have Antonio Gibson, which was one of the first dominoes to fall back in free agency. Seems like a year ago. It was only a few months ago. And then Ramondre Stevenson recently. They open their wallet and say, hey, you've been yeoman's work here for the franchise. He's older than folks expect. There's some dynasty angles here that are probably different than the NFL angle. But the point is, they have two big backs who can move and can catch, interesting profiles, a little redundant if you kind of look at both guys and what they offer. It is a true, both can offer similar things there. What do you think in terms of a split? Is this going to be Ramondre Stevenson as a workhorse back, considering the contract, considering Antonio Gibson just got there? Or what do you kind of expect for roles and, maybe, turning that into some dynasty valuations here as we move forward?
So I know these are on a few of my rosters. I know UTH had both of these guys as rookies that we were getting shares of. And my general thing is, and it's all price dependent, is with Ramondre Stevenson, I think I'm selling him, or I'm able to pivot from him to someone that I would like better, or a position that I would like better, et cetera. Just I don't know how long that's going to last. It's essentially a 2-year contract. If he gets hurt, he's not like there's not a lot of momentum behind him that I think is going to really make his value be more than what it is now. I think the news of the contract going into the year with the presumed starter job. However, on the flip side, even though I think Ramondre Stevenson's going to be a better fantasy running back, it's the cost is the issue. So Antonio Gibson, I looked it up. He's got the 23rd highest paid running back, according to Over the Cap right now. It's a running back contract, so it's all relative, but they gave him some real money. And then we like, the pass catching running backs that can age well. He was a wide receiver in college, coming out. There's some issue as far as, durability, health, et cetera. But I was talking about the issues with the O-line. It's nice to have that, Derek Carr checking down to Alvin Kamara when things aren't there, or the first read isn't there, or whatever, screen game, et cetera. So that could benefit him. And then, so there's kind of a floor of he could be getting the 4 to 5 catches a game average or something that gives you enough of a floor. Even if he had 3 catches for, 50 yards, that's enough to kind of get him in lineups if you need in a bye, in a pinch. But then also having the upside of if Stevenson goes down, it could be, he has some clarified starts with some high impact. And based on his cost, and his contract and just where he's at, I think he's a guy that I really like having a share or two of. I like picking him up. I took over an orphan. We picked him up where you and I are doing startup drafts. We're talking about, can't remember if we drafted him or not, but just he's kind of that guy that you want as, a floor level with pop. Not necessarily that you're going to turn him into first round picks in the future or something like that, but I think he has a lot of utility on your roster.
Yeah, Antonio Gibson, I kind of think, his storyboard is kind of turning out like, you remember Latavius Murray, someone that was a starter, didn't really like the price point when he was a full-time starter, and then he worked his way back to being an injury away guy, and he had a long duration of viability there, spot starts, et cetera, in multiple spots there in the NFL team landscape. I mean, Stevenson in our draft, I believe that, it is very recently. I believe that was after he was signed to that extension. And running back 15 for a 26-year-old that really hasn't popped enough so far, that is really risky in my opinion. And then when you say, well, the arbitrage is Antonio Gibson, who we did get at running back 59, yes, please. I mean, you stack up 50 running backs in the NFL and dynasty landscape, and you say Gibson's not a part of that. Tough sell for me. So I would take the guy that, again, he's going to be worth, not worth, but I mean, like in lineups. To say that he can't do exactly, or maybe even more than Ramondre Stevenson if he misses time, give me the guy that's way cheaper there. So that's a pretty non-competitive point in my capacity, considering just that huge spread we have in cost there in the marketplace that is building and growing, and frankly, spreading with Stevenson gaining a lot of steam back.
And the profile, just those pass catching. I mean, Derrick Henry has been dynamic at running, but has been hamstringed by not having the passes as well. And so having kind of that Danny Woodhead, Darren Sproles-y side of him as well, and the wide receiver, you can kind of split them out, et cetera. It makes him very interesting.
Wide receiver. Boy, this is a less clarified conversation than running back for sure. Stevenson, Gibson, very clarified, number one, number two in some capacity. The wide receiver rotation here. I would just start out by saying, and maybe it's an end game question, but how would you stack up the idea of who has the best odds to be the wide receiver one? Is there going to be a clarified wide receiver one? What's your general landscape of a lot of new faces here? You've got Kendrick Bourne, the incumbent, so to speak, but he's coming back from injury as well. You've got a bunch of new faces here in New England's depth chart too.
What's nice is you can grab at affordable prices parts of this and kind of that, like I said, people are going off of last year where the offense was horrific. It is going to improve over that. And so if you can get pieces, Kendrick Bourne, for example, has been, I think, the best wide receiver on their roster for the last 2 years, kind of in the doghouse, especially 2 years ago. He's a guy that, I mean, we're getting him, I think, in like the 20th round of our startup or something crazy. So he's a guy that I think starting out, especially when rookies have to kind of learn the speed of the game. He would be a guy that I would see, okay, early production slash nice floor type thing. I think that he would be the name. I do worry a little bit, Pop Douglas and Javon Baker, who they've took in the fourth round, are good prospects, good wide receivers, but you're going to have some guys in the block to get them open deep, right? So unless it's just bubble screens, I don't know that they're going to be able to push the ball downfield. However, you said it, Drake May, he's got an arm. He can take those shots. So long term, they might be there. The guy that I find most interesting for a number of reasons, though, is Jalen Polk by far. And I don't understand necessarily where there's, I don't remember how many, 10 wide receivers by pick 37 or something like that this year. And so many of them are literally back to back to back to back in that, what was it, 27 to
40
37
range, yeah.
range or something. Yeah. And so to say that we know this one's going to work, that one's going to work is a little bit of hubris. So having the cost of, a guy that went within three picks of him going, I've seen him at 2-1 in rookie drafts, whereas I've gotten Jalen Polk at 3-1. And then combining that with the rising tide of the offense, improved quarterback play, and the fact that you can get him at that price, there is an opening for a wide receiver one type role. I really think that he's just a screaming buy, and especially rookie drafts this year, just the opportunity, the pedigree, and just not saying that he's going to necessarily be the better bet, but at that cost, it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, the arbitrage. I think what you're circling around is saying, the arbitrage of a guy with a good enough profile, he's going early second round, and yet there's guys right around him in the NFL draft order that are going late first, early second, and Polk is almost every time, right? You go 210, 211 in Superflex, he's there, right? I mean, like that's on the quote unquote early side. The early third would be on the later side of his spectrum of cost. Just offhand, he has got to be with our discussions and what I've known and we've discussed through rookie draft season. Is he your most owned rookie or one of your top two or three?
Oh, definitely top two or three.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think if I haven't gotten Drake May in one of my
Yeah.
startups. Pretty much every Superflex, though, I'm getting Drake May, so he's probably
Right.
my number one.
He's an easy button. But yeah, I remember Polk, you talk about late second and early third all the time about, getting into that zone via trade or, especially if you make a two for two, having that other pick go into that zone so you can get Jalen Polk and wide receiver 50 or so in terms of prices, most recent dynasty startup draft that we have seen the results of here. You didn't mention Javon Baker, dart throw complete, like he's clearly behind, Bourne, who might be a guy that if he comes back healthy from injury, he's going to be a highly relevant version there. And then Jalen Polk, hopefully the guy that's within the top three, let's say this year, and maybe some upside as the season develops to be even higher than that.
Yeah, Javon Baker, he's got I mean, he's a great talent, but at the end of the day, he's a day three draft pick who kind of lives off of the deep ball and stuff like that. I think he's going to be a better real life football player for them that can do things in the offense that the offense needs more than a fantasy option. However, go read some of his quotes coming out of the draft. I mean, he's the type of personality you want in a wide receiver. He is a diva, give me the ball. I am the greatest person to, be drafted. I can't believe I went this late, chip on his shoulder kind of guy.
And one other sidebar, finishing out wide receiver here is Juju Smith-Schuster. I've already seen some rumblings that he could be easily be a cut on that depth chart. I know because he's a name, people have kept him around dynasty existing leagues, maybe not so much in a startup draft, but existing league rosters for a number of years, living off of those time in New England and also Kansas City. But he's fallen off drastically. Is he someone that you would be proactive with? If waivers are running, would you be dropping him and just getting somebody else with a pulse and a chance going into August? Or do you think he actually has a chance to be in the top two or three and say, that would be one that I would regret if cutting him now?
I mean, anything's possible, but I think he's fighting for his job, honestly. I don't know that with the younger guys coming in, you talk about progress stoppers, like they used to say, and I don't think that if he is on the roster, he'll be fighting for his job. I wouldn't think he's going to have a big upside. I think they're going to try to get some of the younger guys, and there's just more talented guys. I mean, I love Juju coming out. I loved him early on. I just think injuries, and he's not what he was once, and I wouldn't necessarily be prioritizing him in any way.
Similar to Juju Smith-Schuster, Hunter Henry, it's been a few years since he's been quote unquote at his best or in his peak window. He's a steady Eddie guy. We know he can play. He's fallen through the floor in terms of his dynasty valuation, but he's a wide receiver. He's the tight end one here. And one thing is, I almost wonder, could he be the wide receiver one? With so many questions at wide receiver, could this fit the formula we always talk about good enough quarterback play, a non-dominant wide receiver one? Hunter Henry, again, he is going so cheap right now. I'm imagining, being able to scoop him up in some two tight end leagues. Obviously, you can use him as a streamer sort of plan, going super late or super cheap in one tight end formats as well. What's your kind of take on Henry's spectrum going into this year?
He could, and he definitely would be on the short list of filling that role if you're looking for going cheap at one tight end formats. If you are in a deeper or tight end premium league where you can start multiple tight ends, he's a guy that is affordable. That we talk about that O-line. He could be the chip and just kind of dump off pass the young quarterback's best friend, et cetera. He struggled a bit with injuries, but he's had some big pop games. Best ball, I think, especially he'll have a couple two touchdown games in a year. And so, yeah, I think for the price, not necessarily a long term, again, not necessarily a guy that we're trying to flip for first round picks going forward or anything like that, but the utility on your roster for what you're paying for him and his upside, I think he'll have a better year this year than last year at the very minimum.
He's priced in the later 20s, or even close to tight end 30. And yet, basically, every healthy year, he's finished in the top 16 to 18. So that may not sound super sexy, but if you get in a spot, and we did it in our startup draft of being, waiting on tight end, waiting for the right moment, it never quite occurs. Someone like a Hunter Henry really does come into play when you think about job security, likely outcomes, reasonable upside, and someone that could pan out to be a guy that you're happy with or at least content with in your starting lineup to get you started in one of those team builds. Also, any other final thoughts on Jaheim Bell, anyone I'm missing in this offense overall before we get to some dynasty-centric trades for the New England Patriots? But is there any sort of sleeper, someone that we glossed over, you just wanted to highlight just a little bit more?
I mean, I mentioned Pop Douglas. These guys are all guys that I really like as far as their NFL value. I just don't know that in Dynasty they're going to get to the point that it's worth us rostering them or really prioritizing them. Hunter Henry, I think, would be the perfect tight end two and a one tight end type thing, or you have a startup or you're just trading away and getting good value for whoever your starting tight end is. He'll fill in, like you said, be kind of a top 20 guy, et cetera. So yeah, I think we covered it all between Gibson and Henry would be the two sleeper guys, but I think for fantasy we covered it.
Excellent. We got a few trades here. Wanted to pick some centric players for the Patriots in the Dynasty Marketplace. Let's start off with Ramondre Stevenson. So we got Ramondre Stevenson. We talked about him in the mid-teens of the running back position market-wise. You add Jerome Ford to him. Maybe he sees some starts early in the season for Cleveland. They were both traded for Jaxon Smith-Njigba. What do you think of this one?
So I wrote that I'm putting the JSN side, but I'm definitely probably going to be flipping JSN. I just in looking at some of the market trades that you've seen for him, he's going for way more than I would value him at. However, Ramondre Stevenson, Jerome Ford, you're packaging up, you're getting a value. If you're thinking where they're going in startups or something like that, you are getting a higher value asset. I think you'd be hard pressed to get a first for Ramondre Stevenson and or Jerome Ford. But I think you could easily get that with JSN. So I'm taking the JSN side there, but I'm flipping them.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, he just provides, in my opinion, more flexibility. JSN doesn't have to do a whole lot this year for people to feel that optimism that they've been holding on to now for like 16 months. It hasn't happened yet. Tyler Lockett, that guy won't die. He's a zombie. Again, JSN is going to be one that I think gets you a lot more flexibility over the next 12 months with a little less risk, in my opinion. And I say that saying that I think Smith Njigba has some risk as well. Jacoby Brissett. Again, you talked about him not having a whole lot of value. So the what to do with him, especially if he's excessive on your quarterback depth chart, maybe the answer is just hold. But I got a couple deals here. One of them is Brissett for Chuba Hubbard, for example.
So this one was interesting, and I vacillated a couple times on this. I think this would be a good one as far as we talk about roster allocation and how many of what position you have on your roster. So if you're just hemorrhaging quarterbacks, you got a whole bunch of them and you need some running back. I think Hubbard being on his contract year off of his rookie year, I think Jonathan Brooks, I mean, he tore his ACL in November, even if he is healthy. I definitely don't think Miles Sanders is much to worry about. And Carolina really put everything into we're going to protect our tiny little quarterback that we drafted and we're going to, run the ball, beef up the front, et cetera. And so I see the argument for Hubbard. I think in a vacuum, though, I'm still taking Jacoby Brissett just because I think the position value and knowing that he is starting, et cetera. I don't know that. I mean, you play the season out 10 times. I don't know how many of those Hubbard's helping you in your playoff stretch run, et cetera. He's more of a band-aid at the beginning of the season while we wait for some of the backup running backs to kind of pop.
And we can vulture and look for running backs all along the way. Quarterbacks, especially with a profile of saying, I think they could be functional plus with clarified starts. It's a little trickier to find in season, and especially now if you already have one in Brissett. And you never know. Again, quarterback can be something where you might go all the way down in terms of bodies. And running back, I think there's a little more flexibility on what that body kind of needs to look like. One other
And
one.
it may not be a lot that you get for Jacoby Brissett, but still, if someone is hurting at quarterback and they're like, oh my goodness, I just, lost my quarterback, Aaron Rodgers, four plays into the season. I need someone who's starting or I'm going to lose this whole year. You can get something for him. You can package up him and something else for something that you like better.
One more Brissett deal I wanted to throw in here. We got Jacoby Brissett and a 25 second for Geno Smith. So is this something that you would look to do? I know Geno Smith being traded a lot of times for seconds alone. Would you throw in Brissett to grease the wheels and get a deal like that done?
Oh man, the Geno Smith one that you texted me, it wasn't Brissett. So let's see. In that case, I think it's going to be really dependent. I do think Geno's going to start this year. I know we've got, just like with the Patriots, it's a new coaching staff. So you can't be quite as predictive with what they're going to do, their allegiance. They brought in Howell, I believe, and his pocket presence, his pressure to sack is just atrocious. The weapons there are good enough. You said it was a 26 second, right? Yeah, I'd probably take the Geno side just because I know, I mean, that 26 second, that's going to be liquid and not take up a roster spot, which is great. But I don't know that you're going to have much more than Jacoby Brissett for half a season, and it may not be, a top 20 or something like that point scorer either. So give me Geno, give me that offense, and I can make up in the future. I can get back that second.
Yeah, I agree. I think you upgrade. I think Geno has a lot more outs for a lot more starts. And Brissett's one that frankly, I think once Drake May gets going, I mean, it's going to be his job, his keys, his car, and Brissett's going to go back to being a transient guy looking for another job. I mean, this is about as ideal as you could have possibly expected for Brissett to see some sort of clarified starts early in the season. And we still don't even know how many he'll get. Last one here. Two PPR for tight end. Wanted to make that twist to make Hunter Henry interesting for discussion. We've got Hunter Henry and Rashid Shaheed for Terry McLaurin.
There's probably some bias coming in here, but I'm going to go with, normally I like consolidating ones. I'm going to actually go with Hunter Henry and Shaheed on this one. Shaheed, you can say what you want about the passing game and kind of the Derek Carr falling off. I know 2 years ago, I think his average yards per route run was north of like 2.7. It was like an extreme outlier when you're looking at all the best of the best and Rashid Shaheed. And so last year, I think it dropped to like 1.7 or somewhere in there, which is still, NFL baseline or better. And he's done with his contract this year. He's younger than McLaurin. So I think he's at least interesting. But I think, if you go outside of this year, I think inside this year, Hunter Henry could, in that format, be more useful than McLaurin would be this year alone. And outside of this year, that Shaheed piece might be interesting, or at least, I remember Christian Kirk or some of these guys that get a big contract, where they could pop in the offseason, get a big contract, new team, and you can flip him for something greater than what he would currently be.
Excellent. Yeah, I'm going to actually make this a little UTH trade calculator preview, make it the trade of the show, because it's pretty even. Because I would argue, again, playing the premiums, we talk about best player in the deal, best asset in the deal many times. And I think that's Hunter Henry. You talk about two PPR for tight end. I think there's an easy argument to say that it is Hunter Henry. You need to make that tight end there in Superflex, it's quarterback almost every time to make that the best asset in the deal. And McLaurin, so anyway, in the trade calculator, it's plus 26% for Terry McLaurin. However, what's one of the big things here for UTH trade calculator is expect to pay for the best player or asset in the deal plus 15 to 30%. Like that's considered norm. So this is right in that zone of saying it's absolutely fair. I would say you side with the premium format. I would also say this with two PPR for tight end, you can't really be too good at tight end because a lot of times in those formats, you can flex. You can have up to three, four, five sometimes tight ends in your lineup. And I think if Hunter Henry is a top 16 to 18 tight end, I think you're going to be happier with that than Terry McLaurin and just kind of blending in. I think Terry McLaurin has been one, and now everyone's saying, oh, well, now with the quarterback change, he's going to be great. He's yet to be great. He's been a good wide receiver. However, good at wide receiver means replaceable in dynasty. It means shoulder shrug. It means it doesn't really matter. So I will say it's a fair deal, but one that, and again, using concepts of the UTH trade calculator, go towards the premium and go towards there with the best player and asset in the deal. And McLaurin, I think a lot of people would be surprised how low value he is, but he's older than people think, and he's more replaceable than a lot of folks in Dynasty think. He's living on some cachet and some profile residuals for being just pretty good over the course of his career so far. But he's getting a little late in the game to be showing some new unearthed upside there.
And really pay attention to the premiums there. You're going to have an easier time replacing a Terry McLaurin at wide receiver in that format than you are getting another top 20 tight end producer that year.
Ryan Morgan, thank you so much for coming on, sharing your time and talents. As always, we've recorded plenty of times in the past, but this is your first time on the UTH free show, the UTH main show for Under the Helmet. Where can folks find you, and what are some of the things you have worked on and look forward to working on that they can co look forward to some of your content in the future?
Yeah, so you'll find me on UTH.com with the GM Plus subscription, doing many podcasts, multiple podcasts a month. We've done some written work in season. We did last year kind of a challenge between the two of us where we were trying to see what we could find off the waiver wire in wide receiver and tight end, just so we knew when we were trading away stuff, kind of where that base level is that you can just get any week off the waiver wire. So we have some of those fun things that we do. You can also find me on the UTH Patreon for, again, podcasting, doing multiple podcasts over there each month. And then also in the VIP chat, if you got trade questions, you want to bounce some things off, I'm in there. You can talk to everyone else who's in there. And also, I do some things in season for just kind of leading up to kickoff on Sunday, helping with some start stuff with some of my background in the daily fantasy space.
Ryan Morgan, valuable resource. You're hearing him possibly for the first time, but certainly not the last time. And it shouldn't be the last time you're seeking out his information and valuable resources here. I am Chad Parsons. Until next time, never settle, refuse to be average, and keep building those dynasties.